Ut prosum. Is that right? Ut prosum. Linda didn't tell me this. I didn't know it's coming. And yes, I'm a Cavalier, but I have to tremendously admire Ut prosum. It's, yes, it should be a part of who we are as Christians, but there should be no separation in our Christian life and our secular life. And for an institution, any institution, even if it is Virginia Tech, to have that as a motto is huge. And I'm not giving up my orange and blue, but it makes me even more proud, and I already was proud, even though I try to plug Robert's ears when I say this. I'm proud that we have a place like Virginia Tech in the state of Virginia. And it just increased even more that way. So I'm proud of that. But before I get into the message, I want to share something else. This has to do with Trent Umbarger, who's sitting back in the back. He's worried right now. Trent, you aren't going to have to stand up. You aren't going to have to say anything. You can just sit there and smile. You see, Trent, without even knowing it, just because of who he was and what he did, impacted at least one person pretty significantly that's sitting here this week. Probably more than that. But Brandon Page, who's sitting right here, because of something Trent did, something he shared, and being who he was, Brandon Page made the comment, "I am as certain as ever that Woodland is the right church for my family." Trent, you had a part in that, and you didn't even know it. If you want to, you and Brandon can talk sometime or another. I'm not going into the whole story. But Brandon is excited about that. Trent obviously did something that reflected what he felt about this church and the family. And so that phrase, repeat it again for me, Linda. Well, I'm not going to be able to read it once I write it. I can't write Latin, read Latin. Ut prosum. Prosum. Ut prosum. I believe that Trent is one that by being who he is, he serves and makes a difference in this church. I believe that Brandon, after knowing something about what's happening, the spirit's going on here, he and I believe his family, because of what is going to be happening here next week, they desire to be a part of serving. Not because they have to, not because they're obligated to, but because they want to. We may serve. That is the sense, and it really isn't an announcement, but it may seem like it at some point. There's this sheet. There's this sheet when you came in. There's a sheet here I have that I'll be up here during the time of invitation. There'll be this sheet in your Sunday school classrooms. This is an opportunity for you to sign up so that you may serve this church. It's 2 weeks from now, and we're going to have a big worship service where everybody comes together. But then after that, we're going to come together, and we may serve each other. We may serve in a way that celebrates what God has given us in terms of this building. And as we do that, I believe just like what Trent did, by Trent being Trent, other people saw it, and they wanted to be a part of it and considered it an honor. And it wasn't like we go to that church, we have to go clean, we have to go do this. No, they want to be a part of it. So I encourage you in that spirit, knowing that you may serve, to pay attention to these sheets that you will be seeing more of today and next week. And you may say, well, I can just decide later. We have some people that are working really hard to try to organize this and help us get as much done as possible. If you can look at that today and see what it may be that you could do, where your gifts are, where your passions are in terms of helping to get things done, it will help us do a better job in a couple weeks. So please think about taking time to look at that and serve in that way. So we may serve. That's what we've been talking about for almost like a month and a half now. As we start, I want you to turn, I'll start off by reading the scripture you have in your bulletin, John 15, verses 9 through 7. And you'll want to, once I read that, put your finger there. We'll be coming back and looking at those verses in detail. But John chapter 15, verses 9 through 17 reads as this. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. There's a lot there, and I've got to try to get through it in a few minutes, but there's a lot there about service, but I want to share something else. I have had a really good Sunday school teacher, and this one is one I've had recently. I've had a lot in my life, but this one's one I've had very recently. I won't say what this Sunday school teacher's name is, in case I would embarrass her. But this is something that was revealed to me recently through this group of sharing with like-minded believers. This scripture, this Bible, is different in many ways than a typical book that you would read. Hey, let me ask this. Has anybody ever seen a movie or read a book and it's so good you feel that you are a part of it? You get lost in it. Has that ever happened to you? No? Nobody except me has ever had that happen. You get into a movie, movie's so good, and you feel like you're a character in it, and whatever's happening there is happening to you. Y'all need to watch some better movies or read a better book or something, because when they're really good, that's what happens. It brings you in that way, and you are a part of the story. Well, that's what a good writer does, but Scripture, the Bible, that's just truth. It's not something that you have to wonder about, but it's truth, and let me show you how. The way it was pointed out to us, there are two bookends to the Bible, and they both start and end with trees. And the Scripture, if you want to look these up, if you want to make sure I'm not pulling your leg, the first Scripture comes from Genesis 2, verses 8 through 9. Genesis 2, verses 8 and 9, and this is what it says. Now the Lord had planted a garden in the east, in Eden, and there he put man, the man he had formed. The Lord made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground. Trees were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So that's the beginning of creation. Well, you have the Scripture and the story of God and what God wants to do with humanity, and where does it end? You know, it hasn't ended yet. If you look at Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 and 2, we see something of what the end is going to be. Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 and 2 says this: Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb of God down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life. On each side stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree for the healing of the nations. That's the last chapter of the Bible. That time hasn't gotten here. In my Bible, the caption at the top says it's the restoration of Eden. Now, there's a lot more if you go into studying Revelations and you end up with a lot more questions, but I'm telling you, I just read the beginning and I just read the end. The end hasn't gotten here yet. you are in this Bible. You are here. Scripture's here, and we have stories of people, and we look back a lot of times, and we look at people in the Old Testament, we look at the disciples in the New Testament, and sometimes we feel so separated from them, but we're not. We're in the story. We're writing more of this Scripture right now. Whether or not it's going to be called Holy Scripture at some point, I don't know. I'm not sure what plan God has in terms of the Scripture, but I know we are a part of this. A very real part of what God's saying. We are in this Scripture. It's who God is. It's who we are. So let's look at what this has to say. If I was to categorize this and I start talking about the opening chapter as of today, look at verse 10 of the Scripture I just read in John 15. John 15, verse 10. Says this: if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. Actually, I'm going to start with verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. And with that, there's a love triangle. Usually when you talk about love triangles, it's a bad thing. Love triangles are not good in most cases when you talk about them. In this case, it's a very good thing. That love triangle is made up of God, Jesus Christ, and you. And there's a connection there. There's a very powerful connection. It's a part of how we understand this story fits together. And then if we read verse 10, this is what it says: if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remained in his love. This is that triangle. This is connection. It's based on obedience. Now, if we think about obedience, to have that relationship, it's just like, and I think it goes back to this "we may serve" type of thing. There's a difference in an attitude of saying we may serve, and we get excited about it because we see what's happening and how people are invested and what their life is all about. There's a difference there than saying I have to serve. God doesn't make us do anything. But the Scripture here is talking about that in order for us to be connected to God in the way that He desires, there has to be obedience. But this is something I believe it's much that same Spirit. We may have an opportunity to hear what God wants us to do, what God's plan is, and we can be a part of that. It's an exciting thing. It's not, and it is an obligatory thing. It says so in Scripture, but it's not only that. It's so much more than that. And look what happens. Look at, if you continue to read, in verse 11 it says, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy be complete. If you're just looking at what you're doing in your Christian life as obedience, and you have to do this and you have to do this, and is it going to bring you joy if that's your attitude, if that's the way you're looking at it? No. But it's saying that God is revealing this to us in terms of being obedient, because if we do that, it's going to bring us joy we're not going to receive in another way. So it has something to do with our attitude. It has something to do with our understanding of who God the Father is and who Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is, and how we're connected to that. And it's a beautiful thing. And it truly does give us joy. So as we continue, that's the opening chapter. That's my introduction for you. The next one is the most exciting part. This next part is where you get to write your story. Chapter 2, through whatever chapter you want it to be. We move from being a servant to being a friend. Look at verse 15. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You. And we've talked about servants, being a servant of God and what that is, and I'm not taking anything away from that. But in order to understand the fullness of what it means to be a servant, to be a believer, to be a part of Christ, you move from just what in our English language we might understand as servant, to there's something deeper, there's something more intimate. And here it's referred to as a friend. a friend of God. Now, I want you to think about this a little deeper. And as we do, let's look at verse 16. The scripture says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit." Jesus Christ chose you. Now, if you don't understand that you are a part of this Bible, sometimes you can read that and you say, well, this is talking about the people there, the people in that time. No. Jesus Christ chose me. Jesus Christ chose Elsie. Jesus Christ chose Dennis. Jesus Christ chose Trent. Jesus Christ chose Price. Jesus Christ chose every person here individually and as a whole. And we have to know that. We can't dismiss it. We shouldn't separate ourselves by saying, yeah, God just did that for everybody. Yes, he did, but he did it for you. He chose you. You didn't choose him. He chose you. That's what the scripture says. And if you really understand that, if you take that in, how does it make you feel? Now, I know that may sound like some counseling, psychiatry, mumbo-jumbo stuff, but that's not where I want to go. How does it make you feel to know that God, through his Son, Jesus Christ, who died on a cross, knows you and chose you? Knows everything about you and chose you. He did. And I know that you'll say, yeah, I know that, but have you really ever let that sink in? That's a big deal. That's a part of your story. If we continue, go back to verse 15, I want to continue reading that. "Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you." You know God's plan. There are things that, and we talk sometimes about how it would be easier to have been a Christian maybe if we had actually been on earth when Jesus was here and we were walking alongside of him. And I understand where you're going with that. To be able to actually see Jesus Christ and that would be just be amazing to see him. But you know, that was in the midst of a lot of stuff that was going on in the world, a lot of challenges that Jesus was facing, a lot of things that his disciples were there. They weren't privy to this, to know what Jesus' big picture was the way we do now. But we have insight not only into who Jesus is, but what God's plan is, because the scripture says so. My question is, do you use this insight? You know what the story says. You know how the story is going to end. You know who God is. You know the purpose that Jesus came here. You know why Jesus came and what he wants to accomplish. We have insight. And it says that's why we're not just servants, we're friends. Are we embracing this? Is it making a difference in our lives? Are we using the insight that we've been given? If so, what does that look like for you? If not, why not? And then, in verse 16, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you." Jesus wants you to bear not just fruit, but bear a lasting crop of fruit. So then my question is, what is the quantity and quality of your fruit crop? If I had more time, I'd ask Robert to come up here and I'd just have a little interview with him. But he likes me to finish on time, so I'm not going to let him talk. But my guess is, if I were to talk about the fruit crop that Saunders Brothers tries to raise, yes, they want quantity. That's a good thing. The more they have, the more they can share it with other people. But do they have that quantity at the cost of the quality? No. Because then nobody's going to want it no matter how much you have. And so quality and quantity are both meaningful, but we need to let God be the one to guide us and lead us in that. What type of fruit are we sharing? What type of fruit are we growing? What type of fruit is God able to see? This is your story. You're writing it right now. So I ask you, where is your fruit? Sometimes you don't necessarily know it. Trent displayed some fruit, and there was benefit of that fruit. Somebody else benefited from and shared it, and it made a difference in the kingdom. And it wasn't something he had to sit down, figure out, and study Scripture, and prepare, and memorize, and do all this. He just followed in doing what I really believe God wanted him to do. That's what it means to bear fruit. And as we continue to grow, we'll bear more fruit in different ways. I'm going to ask the praise team to come on up as we conclude with the last thing. And I've entitled this Concluding Chapter. And as we look, there's a reason this is repeated, but in verse 12, and it says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. But then if you go over the end of this scripture passage in verse 17, it says, this is my command, love each other. The conclusion to the story, the way that we write it, the way it's to end is that we are to love each other. That's what it means to be a servant. That's what it means to be a friend of Christ. It began in understanding the love between the God the Father and God the Son. And we can be a part of that. But then as we serve, it draws in the idea of the love that we have for each other. So I ask you today, as we come to a close, the altar's open. I can't remember that Latin word.
Ut prosum. I wrote it down for you. I'll give it to you later.
But you may serve. You truly may do that. Don't do it because a preacher says so. Don't do it because it's the right Christian thing to do. Do it because of your relationship with God. And if we do that and understand it, joy comes from it. And it's not just joy for us, but joy that everybody knows, even people that we don't recognize. So today, pretty cool. I get to say, initially, I want everybody in this room to be a little more like Trent Umbach. And you can tell people that a preacher said that in church. But it's not just being like Trent. It's because Trent is striving to be more like who God wants him to be. That's really who I want you to be. The person God called you to be. And fruit will grow and develop. Not because you're going to work so hard at it, because that's the nature of who God is. Let's stand together and sing. The altar's open. I'm here to pray with you if you desire.